We are talking today with Dave Louthan. He is the worker who killed and processed the first cow in the U.S. recognized to have BSE. Dave, thanks for talking with us today.
Anytime.
Start out and tell us, how did you get involved with the beef industry?
Well, that goes way back. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I was standing in front of the Coffee Cup Cafe in Hyco, Texas, and a bull hauler pulled up there, and he stepped down off that big shiny truck, and he was wearing gold and snakeskin boots and turquoise and stuff, and I went, "Ooh, God, I want to do that." And then for the rest of my life, I shot for cattle hauling. And when I got old enough, that's what I did. I hauled cows for years and years and years. And 4.5 years ago, closer to 5 now, my truck was sitting out of the driveway. I wasn't hauling nothing. I was in, it was just a slow period. My old lady worked at Vern's Meats, and she said, "Why don't you come over to Vern's Meats and clean out their freezer for them? They need some help, and you need the money." So I went over there, and I have a system for everything I do. Everything has got a system. So I clean the freezer out for them and organize it, and they liked it so much, they said, "Why don't you come on inside and run a knife for a living?" And I did, and I became a cow killer.
Vern's Meats, is that a small operation?
Yeah, it's just a little mom-and-pop deal. We got, oh, the kill floor is about 3 or 4 people, and then a couple of people working up front wrapping meat, and that's about it.
And maybe you could quickly tell us, what would be the generic process of a piece of beef going or meat going through
cow,
there?
Oh, cow comes to us, we kill it, bring it up by its back legs, cut the back leg, cut the head off, lay it down, skin it, bring it back up again, let the guts out, split it in half, and roll it in the cooler. That's about it. It's as complicated as it gets.
And it was on December 9th of last year that things began to change for you. Can you tell us about why that day is significant and what happened?
Well, yeah, that was just an ordinary day, really. We had 2 trailers full of cows and some odds and ends out in the pens, but we did a trailer full of walkers. The second trailer got there, it was full of downers. I went and got the vet, said we got some downers. Opened the door, on the back step there's 3 cows, 2 cripples and 1 that was comatose. We put that one down as soon as we opened the doors up, but took the crippled cow off, took the other crippled cow off, opened up the door, and here's this big white cow standing there, good looking cow, a little blood on her tail. Other than that, for us it was a real nice cow. Now, ordinarily I'd have took this cow off and run it around to the pens, because the USDA vets, we got a vet and an inspector. Now the vet only deals with the downers and the cripples. The inspector does all the walking cows, because if a cow doesn't have anything majorly wrong with it, the inspector can do the antemortem on that. And if he sees anything wrong, he'll tag it, and a vet will come and look at it. But the vet's got to do all the bad cows. So, you know, I was going to jump this cow off and run it around, but I was kind of short-handed that day. So I killed it out of turn. Instead of unloading it and running around to the pens and letting it run up the way a walker would come up, I killed it down there with the downers and brought it in as a downer. And because we brought it in as a downer, that means we got to do a BSE test on it, and it turned out to be the one that turned out positive. But if I'd have took that cow off a trailer and run it around there and let it walk in, it would have never been tested. We'd have never known, and we wouldn't be here today. But because I killed it out of turn, it got tested.
Can you go into a little more explanation of the concept of downer cows? My understanding is at Vern's, supposedly they weren't accepting downer cows. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a bunch of crap. That's all we did is downers. Now, we were contractually obligated not to be killing downers, but because back in the spring of 93, I guess it was, PETA and Cairo had been over at the People We Supply With Meats facility trying to get films of them torturing downers and this other stuff, so they shipped all their downers to us. We all signed, Vern's and the drivers and Midway and Interstate, and everybody had this big contract going saying they don't kill downers anymore, so the grocery stores would take the meat. But what it was a big trick. We never stopped doing downers. If anything, we did more downers, and then we just had contracts that said they weren't downers when they were downers, in fact, downers and cripples and stuff. So, you know, that's all. That's just a big story they told, because they don't want to get sued for killing downers when they weren't supposed to be killing downers. Thing is, we were a downer plant. That's what we did, was downers.
What would you call the other cows that weren't downers? Those are just...
just plain walkers.
Walkers.
You get 3 kinds of cows. You got downers, cripples, and walkers. A crippled cow is somebody that can it can just about walk, but not really because it's got bad feet or bad tendons or whatnot. From the pens up to the building is a long uphill ramp, like a flight of stairs, really. A good walking cow don't have no trouble going up that, but a crippled cow falls down on in that chute that comes up, and it's really hard to get them out of there. You got to get a winch and stuff like that. It'd take half an hour to get a cow out of there if it gets stuck. So if it's cripply or if it's down, we kill them right outside the back door and then use a overhead hoist to swing them up into the knocking box where they would have wound up if they could walk up there. Now, in the springtime, the USDA came to us and said, we want to start testing downers. And Tom Ellstead, our boss, said, I'd like to, but because we're contractually obligated not to kill downers, we need to come up with a different word other than downer before we can start testing these cows for you. So it took them from the spring of 93 to the fall, end of October, to come up with a word for downers. So we started calling them backdoor cows. Now, when we started killing them out, we started testing, you know, backdoor cow could be anything you brought around the back door. So I'd ask the USDA, you know, do we test? This one's not a downer, but it's outside the back door. Do we test it? Do we don't test it? This one's crippled. It was down. Now it's up again. Do we test it? And they said, look, Dave, to avoid any confusion, anything you kill outside the back door will be a back door cow, and you can get a sample from that and get your $10. So if the best cow in the show came around to the back door down there, then we would test it because we got $10 out of that deal. It was a pretty good deal until it. Well, it wound up biting them in the butt, but it was a good deal for a while. You know, you take them samples, they weigh about a gram, and you get $10 for that, so you wind up selling those for $300 or $400 a pound. Do the math. It was a good deal, sort of.
And Vern's was on contract to do about 1,000 of those a year.
Yeah, 1,000 a year. We just started in October. Now, they're saying we took 250 samples. I don't think we took that many. I thought we took less than 100 myself. Well, you know, I might have lost count, but we just started testing, and we found one that fast, and that concerns me.
You said a couple times about spring 93. Did you mean spring 2003?
Oh, that's, yeah, 2003. All right, that was a few years. The millennium apparently came when I wasn't watching.
I'm gathering, then, that it was a total fluke that you tested this one cow. I mean, that one of the good cows, a walker, got tested.
Yeah, I should have ran that. I'll tell you what happened. The cow was standing there. I could have unloaded her and ran around, but I was behind schedule and shorthanded. One of our best guys just got picked up by the INS and shipped back to Mexico, and the chief was on the telephone, and I was really shorthanded. And so to save myself some time, I shot this cow out of turn. You know, she was standing on the back of the trailer. She didn't want to make that step down, and the driver was poking her in the butt with a hot shot. She was getting excited. She was going to turn around and run up to the front of the trailer and stomp all them downers in the process. And so just to save everybody a lot of grief, I grabbed a gun. I asked the doc, you seen her, doc? And he says, I guess. And I dropped her right there, and then she wasn't crippled or nothing like that, but because I shot her out there, she became a backdoor cow. That's how that happened. Otherwise, you know, I should have unloaded her into the pens, technically speaking, but I didn't.
Talk about, if you would, the process that you do on a cow, and on this particular cow, obviously, which is significant. According to the USDA, we don't need to worry about our beef because the highly toxic parts, the spine and the brain, are being removed, and as long as that's being taken out, we're safe. What's the truth to that?
Well, it's a lie. You know, first of all, everything the USDA should be suspect in your mind. You know, they've been lying and lying and lying. So now they're talking about the special risk materials. You know, that's so much crap because the cow is an organism. It's all one organism. You cannot take the spinal cord out of a cow like you would take a spark plug out of a motor. It doesn't work that way. It's an animal. You take that splitting saw when you're done gutting it, and you split this cow in half the long way. It's a big saw. You start up where their tail used to be, and you split them right down the middle of the spine, right down the exact center. You know, so what you're looking for is two equal halves, a half of beef. I'm sure you heard of it. And that saw blade goes right down through the spinal cord, right through the exact center of the spinal cord. Big old teeth are ripping out chunks of spinal cord, bone dust, blood, fat, and the blade has got hot water jets spraying on it to keep the blade from gunking up and coming off of the pulleys and stuff. And this is forming a bloody slurry that runs down the cow inside and out. And if this cow is sick, that whole carcass is contaminated. Now, when they roll that into the processing room to get cut up, the contamination's all over the outside of this cow. And as the butcher runs his knife and his saw through this carcass, it's carrying that contamination into the meat. So every steak, every roast, every piece of cow you cut off of this cow is contaminated. And the saw is also contaminated. So the next beef you cut, even though it doesn't have BSE, will be contaminated. So it might as well have had BSE. You can't wave your hand and wish the contamination away. Contamination doesn't miss an opportunity. People do. It's an animal. It's not a jigsaw puzzle. You can't just take the parts away you don't want. A sick cow is a sick cow is a sick cow.
Obviously, you had no idea, you know, that you were dealing with an infected cow back on the 9th. And then the next that you heard about any of this was what, on the 23rd, 24th, somewhere in there?
Yeah, on the 24th, I noticed that the USDA guys were running out of their office with big armloads of paperwork, and they looked panicked. And I'm not kidding. Everybody was panicked looking. My boss was running around like a chicken with his head cut off. He had armloads of paperwork, and I was asking the inspector, what's going on? What's happening? I know something's happening because something is happening. He wouldn't tell me. I kept working on him. After a while, he said, well, they found a BSE cow, which was, that was a stunner for me, because BSE is something that happened somewhere else. It didn't happen here. And so I'm thinking, well, man, BSE. Well, that's the end of the butcher business in the United States. I saw what happened in England and Canada. I figured, whoop, I'm suddenly unemployed, at least till they figure out how to start some kind of testing. I was asking him, which cow was it? But he wouldn't tell me. He said, I can't really say anything right now. That's fine. So Christmas came, Christmas went. Now it's the 26th. FDA's there. The USDA's there. They're all following me around. The big shots are all up in the office on the phone to Dr. DeHaven. So I've got all these feds following me around watching. They want to check our procedure. So I'm sitting there trying to work on these cows with five or six guys standing behind me watching. That was not at all nerve-wracking. Plus, I only had me and two other guys that day, and I had 25 or 30 cows out there. And that was going to be a long day. I kept asking the inspector, which cow was it? Tell me which cow it was. He said, all right, I'll tell you. It's going to come out anyway. He says it's a Sonny Dean cow, and he told me the number. I think it was 1610 or something like that. I forget now. And he told me the number, and as soon as he told me which cow it was, I knew exactly which cow he was talking about. My whole head lit up with this big white cow. I knew which cow it was. I ran up to the secretary's office. I checked the kill sheet, ran my finger down the list, and sure enough, it was that cow. And so a few minutes later, the phone call comes from D.C. Don't kill any more downers. Now, we got a bunch of downers outside. The USDA says, don't kill any more downers. And I asked the inspector, why aren't they going to kill any more downers? He said, well, we're going to stop the BSE problem right there. And I said, as soon as he told me that, I'll tell you what, my eyes popped out, my ears were burning, my face turned red. I knew exactly what was going on, because we were only supposed to be testing downers. And they're saying, and this cow was a walker. Because we were only supposed to be testing downers, they were saying, we're not going to be taking any more BSE tests. No downers means no BSE testing is what they were doing. I'm thinking, the chief went out there with the rifle and killed all the downers. They took them to the landfill. But I told the USDA and the FDA right then, right there, that this was a cover-up. I wasn't going to be any part of it. You know, as soon as I realized what was going on, I'm telling you what, something came over me, and it said, this is what you're going to do, and you're going to keep doing it, and you're not going to stop. I don't know what it was, but break time, I went up and looked out the front door, and the media was out there. The KXLY camera trucks and stuff were out there, and they had them gated off with a cable gate. And I went and asked the boss, I said, why do you have the news locked out? This is big. You need to bring them in here and show them how we do stuff and show them that we don't have nothing to hide. We follow the regulations exactly. He goes, oh, we don't want them in here. So my head's going around in circles at that point. I knew I had to do something, but I didn't know what it was, because I knew for a fact the USDA instead of changing the way cows are killed and testing everything, they changed the way cows are killed and they're testing nothing. They completely stopped it because, you know, they did not want to find another BSE positive cow. They couldn't afford to. I went out to the news truck at lunchtime. When I went through the door, I heard my boss swallow hard behind me. He's headed out there. I went over there and I asked KXOY, "What do you want to know?" And they said, "The USDA says that that cow was butchered here, but it didn't go into the food chain." I said, "Of course it went into the food chain. Where else would it go? It's meat. You can't paint a house with it. It ain't building materials. It's meat. You eat it. It's long gone." They said, they said this cow was a downer and they weren't going to kill any more downers and that was going to take care of the BSE problem. I said it was a big walking cow and there wasn't nothing wrong with it. And the rest is history.
Did they cover that on the news when you reported that, that it was a walker, not a downer?
Briefly, about 8 seconds worth, and it just kind of died off. And the next few days were kind of scattered out because, you know, it was, we'd work a day, then it was a weekend, work a day, then New Year's, and then work a day, and it's the weekend again, and I couldn't think of what to do. I couldn't think of who to tell. I couldn't figure it because I was new at being a whatever it is I am in those days. But I thought, who could I call to help me with this? So I decided the USDA inspectors, they've always been a picky bunch. They're a pain in the butt, and they make you wash your hands 1,000 times a day. So I got on the FSIS USDA page, and I went to the part where you can email these inspectors. And I sent out, hundreds of emails. I started with the letter A. I did all the letter A, all the letter B. I got halfway through the letter C's, and it shut itself off. That was Sunday the 4th. I went to work on the 5th, and before break time, I got fired. I have whistleblower's disease. Yeah.
Did they give you a reason why they fired you?
Yeah, they said, "Well, you know, work's going to be kind of slow without any downers and stuff. We're not going to have much to kill." And I said, "Well, yeah, I knew that was coming." So I went in there and told the boys. I said, "I told you we was going to get laid off." And they said, "We didn't get laid off." I said, "Oh, I got laid off. All right, that's fine. I don't care." So the chief told me, he says, "We're going to lay you off, but we're going to put you on laid off standby so you don't have to do the work search. And here's your vacation check," which wasn't due for about 5 months. I took the check. Then I went home. I live right across the street from the slaughterhouse, and I watched these cows. They were shipping truckloads of cows in there. Walking cows. I could see their heads sticking up out of the trailer. I said, "Where are they getting all these cows?" And then I said, "I see the USDA's looking for these 81 cows." And all of a sudden, we have nothing but walkers coming into the shop. And it occurred to me, those are the 81 cows. All the dairy guys down there went out there. You know, every cow you buy comes with a piece of paperwork. They know exactly which cow is which. You know, these aren't like cows that wandered up and started giving milk. You had to buy these cows. They knew which cow was which. They went out there with a pocket knife. They cut the ear tags off these cows, put them on a trailer, and got them to Vern's as quick as they could before the USDA found them, because nobody wants to be stigmatized by having a mad cow on their dairy. So they found 20 of those. I left like 60 cows. Those legendary 60 cows went straight to Vern's, straight into the food chain. I can't prove it, but anybody with any common sense could figure that out.
So did it look like there was actually more cows coming in than usual?
They were swamped. They were absolutely swamped. Those trailers were coming in and out of there at all hours, and I was sitting over there watching this whole thing and trying to figure out what to do. Felicia Nestor of the Government Accountability Project called me, and I told her my whole story. I talked to some congressmen's assistants. I told them the whole story, and nothing happened. They said, "Be quiet. We don't want to tip off the opposition to what we're trying to do. We're going to stop it, but we're going to do it politically." So I'm sitting there thinking, what can I do? I needed to do something. I couldn't just sit there and watch it happen. So I wrote a letter to the editor of the Columbia Basin Herald. Somehow or other, that letter got on the internet. And that made me into a mad cow crusader, and I've been doing it ever since. And I'm making some progress.
Now, when you first came out with this story, USDA I understand, was getting on your case to a degree. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. About a week and a half or so after I sent out them emails, they sent a federal agent over to my house named Gunder Grunberg, big scary guy. Drove a evergreen-colored Tahoe. He came and knocked on my door, and he says, "I'm with the Justice Department." He flashed his badge. "I'm with the Justice Department." And I said, "Oh, can I see that badge again?" And he goes, "Well, actually, I'm with the USDA Office of the Inspector General." And I went, "Uh-huh." I said, "I know you're here about them emails, but I didn't intend to break the law. If I did break the law, I didn't intend to. I thought that was a public thing, and I didn't intend to break the law. I'm sorry." And he said, "I need to come in your house." I said, "No, you can't come in because my sweetheart don't like federal agents, but I'll talk to you in the yard." Anyway, I was out there, and he said, "Get into my car." And I said, "No." He said, "Get in." I said, "No." He said, "Just get in the car." I said, "No." He said, "Get in right now." I said, "Oh, well, if they're gonna, if feds are going to take me, they're going to take me. That's the way it goes." So I asked him, "You don't have a gun or anything, do you?" And he pulls his jacket open. He's got a big gun. I said, "Ooh." "Oh, well," I said. I got in his car, but I didn't close the door. And he said, "Close the door." And I said, "No." He said, "Close the door." I said, "No. Close the door." So I finally closed the door. And he says, "What do you want? Do you want us to pay your child support?" I said, "No, I want you people to do your job." And I went on to explain to him why I sent them emails and what happened at the shop with the vet changing the paperwork and the cow's not a downer, and I went on for about 2 hours. Finally, he says, "All right, I've got your statement here. Don't tell anybody I was here because I don't want you to taint my investigation." And I said, "That's fine." And he left. So later that day, Peter Sleeth from the Oregonian calls me up and he says, "I've got the vet's paperwork here. Let me read it to you." He read it to me. I saw the discrepancies in the paperwork. I thought, "My God, there's the smoking gun. He didn't tempt that cow. That cow wasn't tempted. You would never, ever, ever bring in a down cow without temping it."
What is it, temping? Temperature?
Yeah, you take a thermometer and you stick it in the cow's butt and get you a rectal temperature, because that's what, with a down cow, that's the main thing you go by. It's got to be between 97 and 103 degrees. If it's over 103 degrees, then it's got some kind of a systemic infection and it's not good to eat. If it's under 97, that means the cow's in the process of dying. And so if you check that paperwork, you see they got a, every cow on that trailer got temped except for that one. But you don't have to temp walking cows. No reason to. And so the vet puts down on a paperwork, unable to get a temp, and there's no reason in the world why you can't get a temperature on a down cow. You walk up to the down cow, stick a thermometer in the butt. That's all there is to it. I brought that out in the media, and USDA came back with another statement saying, "Well, now the vet says he couldn't get a temperature because her butt was against the wall." And I went to the media and I said, "This is what happens when that happens. That happens often. What you do then is you shoot the cow, you drag it away from the wall, and you get a temperature before the body temperature falls." If you could ask any USDA vet, any USDA pathologist, anybody involved in the business, you would never, ever, ever bring in a down cow without a temperature. And that's the basis of the U.S. Office of the Inspector General's investigation right now, I guess. But they knew about it way back in January. Right now, they said we've started an investigation, but in fact, I've talked to these people three or four times over the past couple of months. You know, I believe they're just, I don't think it's a real investigation. I just think they're doing it to make the newspapers happy, actually.
Well, let's talk about some of the spin that's been happening since this incident hit the media. According to what I've read from you and from other sources, it looks like there's currently no testing going on. Is that correct?
Yeah, they have not tested one single solitary eaten cow, food cow, cow for consumption since December 26th. Not one single solitary animal. And I dare anybody in the government to call me a liar. Bring me the paperwork that shows where you've been testing cows that were going onto the table, and I'll eat that paperwork without anything on it. There ain't any. In the month of January, they had 1,080 something tests performed, but that was on dead farm cows. The farmer calls up the USDA and says, I've got a dead cow. They go out there, they take a brain sample out of this cow, give the farmer $50. That's all that's been done. That's verifiable. And because the USDA has now been lying and lying and lying, even if they have taken those tests, they're suspect, because once you've lied about this, who says you aren't going to lie about that? You know, they are now untrustable. You know, there's a list of every slaughterhouse in America. Get on that list and start going down the row. You call every one of them and ask them, have you been taking any tests? And I guarantee you not one single cow has been tested. Let me tell you why. One mad cow is a mad cow scare. Two mad cows is an epidemic, and they can't afford to have that happen because it'll mess up their business. They don't care if you live, they don't care if you die, but they got to keep that meat rolling.
So because of this case, one of the things that came out was, I believe it was a writer for the UPI, came up with documents.
Steve Mitchell.
Freedom of Information Act digs up that, in fact, USDA is not testing very many cows beforehand. They were doing, around 20,000 when we're processing 30 million cows a year.
They never took that many tests. That's a big lie. The paperwork he came up with said they hadn't taken any tests in our part of the country in the year of 03, not 93, fellas. In the year of 03, hadn't taken any tests at all on our part of the world until October, and I took those tests. And I'm telling you, there was less than 100. You know, the USDA jumps up there and he says, we've had this cattle testing firewall in place for years, which they had it in place for years, but they never used it. They didn't want to find one. They saw what happened in England and Canada. Even if they were testing, say, what if they did start testing the 20,000 out of the 30 million? That'd be like going to Safeco Stadium full of people, bringing out one guy, giving him an AIDS test. If he passes, then you could say, well, everybody in Safeco Field is good to go. You know, that's asinine. I want every single cow tested. Every cow's an organism. Every cow is susceptible. Every cow that gets eaten needs to be tested. And that's all there is to it. And I'm going to have that.
I understand it's what they do in Japan.
Yeah, in Japan last year they found, in fact, just the other day they found another one. They found 11 mad cows in Japan. They have a little tiny herd in Japan, just a little bitty herd. They don't feed ruminants blood and stuff. They haven't in a long time, and so far they found 11 mad cows over there from that little herd. So if you want to go with that mathematical thing like the U.S. government's so fond of using, that means we only have a few hundred thousand mad cows, mathematically speaking.
And there is a U.S. company that has proposed testing all their beef, and what was the response to that?
Creekstone Farms, yeah. I saw their little news blurb they had. Creekstone Farms says they want to test every cow they kill so they can open up trade with Japan. I called them up and I said, I got a Japanese news camera that follows me around everywhere I go. I said, if you people are serious about testing all your cows, me and Nippon TV will be right there. We'll film it and we'll move a mountain of meat to Japan for you. And they said, we would like to, but the USDA says if we start testing, we'll be violating a 1914 law against using untested serums. And in fact, Creekstone Farms came up yesterday with a little news blurb saying they've given up on the idea. But right now, if you go take a mad cow test of your cow, you're violating federal law, and you're going to get fined $1,000 per cow and a year in jail for every cow you test. That's verifiable. Just look it up.
If you were in charge of things, if you had the power to call the shots here, what would you be asking for?
Stop killing today, right now, this minute. Everybody, everywhere is going to need to set up with at the very least, the fast test method. Do not kill another cow until we're set up to test. If you're a small operation, then you can't afford a lab, then you're going to have to send your samples out. If you're a big operation, then you can build your own damn lab. But I wouldn't kill another single stupid cow in this country until there was some way to see if it was alive. The stuff we have in storage containers and warehouses and stuff everywhere, I hate to say it, but that needs to be flushed down the toilet. If you got meat in your freezer, you need to throw that into the garbage. Don't give it to your dog, he'll get sick. That meat is potentially contaminated with a fatal disease and you need to get rid of it. It's bad. It's suspect. Don't eat it.
Any last words you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, stop buying those people's meat. They aren't going to start testing until they start hurting for money. Now, the only way to reach these people is through their wallets. Stop buying their meat until they start testing. If nobody buys any meat for 1 week, on Monday they're going to have testing, I guarantee it. Stop buying meat. Just do it for 1 week. That's all there is to it. The only way to hurt them is in the wallet. Thank you kindly.
We've been talking with Dave Louthan. He is the gentleman that killed and processed the first recognized case of BSE-contaminated cow in the U.S. Dave, how do people get a hold of you to find out more about your crusade?
Run to my website, davelouthan.org. On there is my email address. Email me. I answer every email I get. I stay up all night doing it, but I get her done. Everybody that calls me will get an answer, I guarantee you.
All right. Well, thank you for spending time with us today.
You're welcome.